Here's two. Thanks. After you do that, Kim, then I'll start. When you get back to there, I'll wait. I'd like to call the San Luis Coastal Unified School District Board of Trustees meeting to order on November 18th and apologize that we're starting about 15 minutes late. In closed session tonight, the board discussed issues regarding labor negotiations and student discipline, and there were no final motions or any final decisions made relative to those two items. If anyone on the board, before we begin the agenda, has any requests to change any items, let me know. Okay, seeing none, we're going to approve the minutes, and then we're going to have a very enjoyable presentation of TEACH grants tonight, which is always something that is so appreciated and well-deserved for teachers and also for the effort put forward by the TEACH Foundation. So I think we have 4 minutes to approve, and I'd like to take them in order. And the first is October 16th. Do we have a motion and a second?
I'll make a motion.
And I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And I think there's two abstentions for that, and Catherine's here, so her vote won't be taken. The abstention will be Catherine. Walt's not here. He wasn't at that meeting. So it'll be 5-0 with one abstention. And then we have the minutes of October 21st.
I'll move approval.
Marilyn moves approval. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Mark, we have a reversal of that. Guys are teaming up well tonight.
We're going to team up on this one.
Any discussion for October 21st?
Was I there?
Everybody was there on October 21st. Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 7-0. Then we have October 23rd. It was a busy period. We have one abstention for that meeting, and that was me. And do we have a motion and a second?
I'll move
Chris
approval.
Has got this. Marilyn? Chris, second? Okay, Chris. Discussion for October 23rd? Seeing none, I'll abstain. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 6-0. And then the last item was the meeting of November 6th, and we have a motion by Adrian. Do we have a second? Second by Catherine. Any discussion?
I don't think Kim got that.
Ken, did I miss anything with you? Okay, should we go back to
Kim's raises.
What's the last one you have? 10-23 was a motion by Marilyn and a second by Chris, and there was one abstention, and it passed 6-0. And the abstention was, I think, Catherine? No, Walt? Me.
It was me.
I don't want to take responsibility. Okay.
Oh.
Now we're November 6th, maybe. I see a finger coming up.
On the minutes of October 3rd?
October
23rd?
October 23rd, rather. There is just one change. It just caught my eye, and I'm sorry.
Then let's do this. We have to have a motion to set aside the vote that approved it, I think, don't we? Because it's been approved. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
Well, under administration present, it says school resource officer Marvin Pesch, SLO Police Department. Actually, Marvin Pesch is our campus supervisor. And our employee.
And the name is PECH, not PECK.
So does that can we just make that little change and keep the previous approvals, or do we need to
No. I think that's just a clerical matter. We're good? Now we would entertain our Teach Foundation representatives.
You know, if I might just jump in on this, I had the pleasure of attending a Teach fundraising event a couple of Fridays ago that was held at the Tolosa Winery, and wonderful facility and a wonderful evening for everybody who attended, and a marvelous fundraiser for the Teach Foundation. And it just occurred to me how much wonderful work that that the folks involved with the Teach Foundation have done for our teachers and our children over the many years that they've been here. I see Marilyn Peter and I see Terry Main here stepping up once again to support our children and support our teachers. And I just wanted to say welcome and invite you to the podium.
Thank you, Dr. Valentine. Terry and Marlene.
It's a pleasure to be here again. My name is Terry Main with the Teach Foundation, and this is Marlene Peter. I chair the grant committee, and Marlene is one of our committee members, and we recently went through our Teach Fall grant cycle. I have to tell you, it was a record setter. We had more applications this cycle than we've ever had before, which is wonderful to see all the teachers and all that they attempt to do for our kids. I wish we had enough money to go around and around and around again. Events such as the one that Dr. Valentine referred to will help us in our efforts to build the endowment so that we can provide more grant money over time. We do have 11 grants that we were able to fund this particular cycle. We're going to do something a little different tonight. Instead of listening to me exclusively, I would like to invite the actual teachers who are recipients of our grants up to the podium, and as I introduce them, and they can actually tell you what their grant was and what they're actually going to do with their funds. And then if you'd like to ask any questions, please be my guest, but this should go rather quickly. But since this is all about them and not all about us, we thought it might be fun to get them more involved in the process. So our first recipient tonight is Steve Gady. He's from Morro Bay High School, and we awarded him $800, and he'll tell you why.
Thank you very much. That's having this Teach Foundation here. This is, I think, the third grant that you guys have awarded me, and it's helped my students out a lot. And some of the equipment, actually all three of the grants before this have been for equipment that's going to last indefinitely. This grant is going to be for a field trip. I'm teaching a marine biology class, and we're going to take the kids up to the Monterey Bay. We're going to visit the aquarium, the Monterey Bay Research Institute, and UC Santa Cruz. And we're also going to camp up at Sunset State Beach on Saturday night on one of the weekends. So it should be a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thanks. Terry, we had a quick comment by Mark.
I just wondered if you needed any chaperones on your...
Yeah, I actually do.
Steve is also a new father. He just had his second. So, and he's here instead of there tonight, so we're very appreciative. Our next recipient is Liz Moore, also from Morro Bay High School, who is going to talk to you about an estuary awareness program. We awarded Liz $250 for her project.
Thank you very much for the money towards our project. I'm Liz Moore, and I teach at Morro Bay High School. I have a digital imaging class, an ROP digital imaging class, and it has second and third year photo students. And so we decided to partner with the National Estuary Program in Morro Bay. And Sherry Sullivan came out and spoke to our class about the issues in the estuary. So we defined a problem, and we went out and did a photo shoot in the estuary. How fun is that, you know, for the kids to get outside of the classroom? And we're putting together, we wanted to put together a book, so the funds are going to put together some books from Shutterfly. We're also doing a website, and we're hoping to display in a couple places around the community. So thank you very much for letting us our book.
Our next recipient is also from Morabe High School. I don't think he's with us tonight. Okay. Don Rabut. Okay. I guess we all know of him. He made a request for a VEX robotic kit for his classroom, and so we awarded him $850 for the purchase of that robotics kit. Our next recipient is from Pacific Beach High School. I don't believe he's here also. It's Daniel Kirk. We have funded him before. It is $603 that goes towards taking his class of case with some incitement issues, some First Amendment issues, and we're very excited and so, so thankful and grateful to the Teach Foundation for their support. Thank you so much. Our next recipient is Jed Brewington from San Luis Obispo High School, and we awarded Jed $700 for the purchase of a lathe for his woodworking class. So he'll tell you about that and what he's going to do with that.
We're going to use the grant that you've generously provided us to purchase a mini lathe. We have four big lathes, but they're very intimidating for a lot of kids, and so the mini lathe will fit on a tabletop, and the kids will get the same experience without being overwhelmed by a massive piece of equipment. And so we're very thankful for your generosity. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Our next recipient is from San Luis Obispo High School also. It's Erin Thompson, and unfortunately she could not be here tonight. She's at a school competition up in Paso Robles. We awarded Erin $600 to help in the construction of a flower bed for the ornamental holder. I can say that. Horticulture program. And so Erin will be using the funds to provide a bed and a walkway. We also awarded Erin $250 for towards the purchase of some equipment for the Ag Mechanics program. Our next recipient is Anne Marie Stoneman from Los Osos Middle School, who we gave $500 for a 7th grade natural history day, and she'll tell you about that.
Hi, my name is Annie Stoneman, and I actually want to acknowledge that I worked really closely with Fela Chapman and Karen Watts from the Morro Bay Natural History Museum. And we are piloting an entire 7th grade field trip out in the community to the Natural History Museum and the surrounding areas. And so we're just going to give it a shot and see if we can develop something that works for middle school students. And middle school field trips are difficult to do, so here we go. We got 192 kids, and we're going to rotate them through four different events and then bring them back here and do a digital slideshow and then have them make little photo stories to share. So hopefully we'll have something fun for the Teach Telethon to show our gratitude. So thank you very much for believing in us.
Our next recipient is Modena Lampier from Del Mar, and she's really excited about what we allowed her to purchase this year.
Sometimes when you're a teacher, it's those little things, and this time it's a class set of 35 little things. I got funds graciously, thank you so much, from the Teach Foundation to purchase quality compasses so that we can draw perfect circles in geometry and actually get an accurate circumference and diameter. You have to have taught fifth grade geometry to appreciate how important this is. Thank you very much.
Our next recipient is Russ Rayburn from Monarch Elementary, and he has quite a project for his kids this year, and we'd like him to come tell you about it.
Thank you, and thank you very much for the grant. I'm beginning to be a real fan of them. we're going to use this money for Central Coast Salmon Enhancement Education Project in the classroom. This entails raising it's rainbow trout, which is very close to steelhead trout. And we raise them in an incubator. And by incubator, we have to keep the water very cold as opposed to warm from eggs. And then we raise them until they're fry and go on a field trip to Lopez Lake. And then during the field trip, We release the fish into the reservoir and then have a outdoor education day where the kids go through like four different English is hard for me sometimes. Four different stations. Mm-hmm. So it involves both of our fourth grade classrooms, and the kids basically get to see start to finish the life cycle of steelhead trout. In the form of steelhead and rainbow trout are very closely related. So we're not allowed legally to raise steelhead, so we do the next best thing and raise rainbow. Thank you.
And our last recipient tonight is Jill Banfield. She's representing the second and third grade teachers at Pacheco who are using our grant for some curriculum enhancement.
Thank you for the funding. I teach at Pacheco.
$157. We'll be doing another grant cycle right after the first of the year, so we should be back here early in March to tell you about that. And with successful fundraising programs like the recent Tolosa dinner, we hope we'll be able to increase the amount of funds we can award and the number of teachers we can award. We're really excited that the number of grants is going up, so we're going to have to work really hard to keep pace with that. Okay. Thanks for your time.
Terry and Marlene, I just wanted to thank you for the board, for all the work you do, and everyone who works with you at the Teach Foundation. It's very much appreciated, and I think the real measure of this is the number of students that it affects, that it helps, and the number of different classes and the hands-on classes and the experiences that the kids would not have if it wasn't for the hard work, and we truly do appreciate it. And I encourage everybody who's here and everybody who listens to the program to get involved with the foundation because it goes beyond just one school, and it helps so many different students, and it's a very critical, important part of the district and the vision of the district, and it helps so very much. So thank you again for doing this. Thanks. At the time the agenda was prepared for tonight, I understand there was not any correspondence to the board unless any board members have any items that got past the gatekeeper. Okay, seeing none, that wasn't you. Seeing none, this is the opportunity during public comment session. If there's anything that the public would like to discuss, address to the board during a 3-minute opportunity, this is a set-aside time, although anybody who's here can also address the board at any time during the remainder of the meeting on any subject. But if anybody wishes to comment, say, or discuss anything relative to school business, now is an opportunity. Bruce.
Bruce Fedrigan, president of our Teachers Association. Some sad news. One of our most esteemed and legendary teachers passed away recently. Her name was Marie Diefenbacher. She was hired at San Luis Coastal School District September 9th, 1973. She taught in our district for 35 years. She served on our negotiations team for 13 years. She was a mentor of mine and helped me in many ways during my presidency. And those of you that knew her, she was full of fire and brimstone, but she had a heart as huge as a door. And I wanted to take a moment to thank the people who have come together to honor her passing. I want to thank Ed Valentine for getting out the notice in a timely manner. I wish Walter was here. He was her neighbor. He was her friend. She loved Walter. I hope he gets a chance to see this. And she was probably one of the people instrumental into talking Walter into running the school board, and here he is on his third term. I want to thank Mary Matakovich for being there early on, the beginning of Marie's illness, and there at the end, and how caring she was, and at Marie's home, and just so sensitive and timely with all your help. Even Russell Miller. Marie and Russell, my first year in negotiations, Marie and Russell would go toe-to-toe over numbers and data and many things that went over my head, but in those epic battles, they were always respectful towards each other, and I never heard her say a negative word about you, Russell. She always thought you were honest with the figures and appreciated you communicating with her and conducting that whole professional negotiations. So I just wanted to say that and get that on record. She's meant so much to so many teachers, and she helped so many people. She was a consummate professional teacher. On a happier note, I wanted to thank Adrienne Dickinson for her time here for 4 years, and thank you so much for being a teacher advocate.
Bruce, thank you for those words regarding Marie, and also for this very much. Are there any other members of the public that would like to address the board tonight on any school-related issue or issues? Okay. Seeing none, then we'll move into... Oh, sure.
My name's Kathy Duncan, and I was running for the school board, and I wanted to congratulate both Walter Miller and Phil Angel. I appreciate having the opportunity to run, even though I didn't win. I just wanted to come to a meeting and introduce myself and say best of luck for the next few years. And you all do a great job. So
thank you very much, Kat. And thank you for running, too, because it's a very important part of a school district. Thank you. Now we're going to have an opportunity for reports, and we'll start with student reports, and I think Katie O'Neill from San Luis High School. Thank you, Katie, for being here tonight.
You're welcome. This isn't on, so I'll just speak really loud.
Yeah, I think some of them... Okay, we'll wait for a second. Wait, Katie.
I can always project, you know, or stand, yeah.
Katie, stand on the table and scream.
Tap dance. Just kidding.
It's still not. He'll give him a second.
Okay.
Good management.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't
I have the ability. I could. I'm just kidding.
That's enough.
You know what? I should learn it.
Okay. Okay. Katie, go ahead and start. Just
okay.
Speak loudly.
Okay. I'm just
going to
speak really loud.
But keep your... There you go. Oh, we're good. Keep your mic on, though.
Okay. Oh, it's working. Okay. So, St. Louis High is had a really good month. On October 30th, we had an Army Band assembly. It was really cool because it was different than the normal, like, pep rally assemblies that we have. And the Army Band is, they're employed members of the Army, but their job is to tour the country and just entertain people. And so they contacted our school and offered to come and play with us, and they also offered to let any of our musical staff members play along with them. So Mr. Huddle and Mr. Bosch, two of our teachers, got to play with the Army Band, so that was a really neat assembly. And then our FFA has been experiencing some really great success lately. Our Ag Issues team, and along with student Caitlin Lewis, who went with a prepared speech, both went to Indianapolis for the national FFA final competition, and they both placed silver, which was really good because it's the whole nation. And also our FFA held their annual Green Hand Banquet, which is for new incoming freshmen into the FFA. And Our treble choir is having a concert tomorrow in their choir room, and the drama club is starting to cast their new production of Murder Mystery. And also senior career activities will be taking place in senior classes this month with our counselors, and they're helping seniors get ready for post-graduation life and what they want to do after high school. And the Black and Gold Boosters Club recently donated a large sum of money to our school. They gave us $7,000 for athletics and $7,000 for instructional activities. And these include, there's a lot of them, but some of them are like battery-powered cars for our physics classes and like various field trips. Like the Spanish club went to L.A. to look at a large display for Dia de los Muertos. And also scroll saws for the wood shop and 10 new choir uniforms. So it's just like a whole bunch of different things at our school. And something else interesting happening with our students is that our auto class is going to the National Hot Rod Association competition, also known as the Army High School Challenge. And they go and they take a general automotive test, and they perform 4 hands-on tasks. And we've won 4 out of the 5 past years, so we have a really good record. And something noteworthy about our teams this year is we have 2 teams, and one of them is all girls, and the other one is 3 boys and a girl. So the girls actually outnumbered the boys this year. So, and then our trimester is coming to an end since we're on the trimester system. And so is our sports fall, our fall sports season. Our girls volleyball, girls tennis, boys water polo, and boys and girls cross country all qualified for CIF this year. And some of our individual girls tennis players will be continuing playing for CIF this week. And both of our cross country teams will be, because it's good.
Thanks, thanks, Katie. Any school staff, administrators, board members? Dr. Valentine?
I just wanted to thank Bruce for his comments about Marie and share our respects, too. We're all deeply saddened by Marie's passing. She touched many, many lives in our school district. She was a formidable spokesman for teachers and an advocate for teachers and someone that certainly everybody in our school district respected. And I just want to echo those comments of Bruce and thank him also.
Thank you. Chris.
Well, a lot of the schools send us their weekly newsletters, and I wanted to particularly send kudos out to Monarch Grove. Jim Skoulis does a great newsletter, but in particular, the November 12th newsletter led with his principal's message about homework. And the discussion that they had at Monarch Grove was, how productive is homework? What can we do within board policy to modify what kind of homework our students are doing, and really what are the values that we're trying to look at? What they landed on that I thought was so important was that some of the traditional types of homework that are assigned to students really don't do that much for students, and that one of the things that does do a lot for students, no matter how old they are, is to be able to read, and more reading. And they talk about that in here and how the homework, I believe, for the younger students will focus more on reading and reading experiences. And then allowing the teachers to have more flexibility in what they actually assign to the students and what that looks like. So I'm really excited that they had that discussion at the school site level. And I think later on I'm going to ask that we have some conversation about just looking at some of this and perhaps revisiting our policy. So thank you very much to Monarch Grove and to Jim Skoulis.
Thank you very much, Chris. Adrian?
I want to thank the board and John and Deborah Spadafore for a beautiful, and the administration for a beautiful party on Friday night. And I thank the teachers and Bruce for this presentation. But my friends gave me some gifts, and the main gift, I guess I should say, was A People's History of the United States, which I have started reading again already. And it's amazing how an aesthetic book is more fun to read than the old paperback that's been in school and in the classroom, and I never finished that, and I think I will finish this one by next September. But
We want a report back.
Okay. Well, I've got a sentence for you already. This is by Howard Zinn, of course. If history is to be creative, to anticipate a possible future without denying the past, it should, I believe, emphasize new possibilities by disclosing those hidden episodes of the past when, even if in brief flashes, people showed their ability to resist, to join together, occasionally to win. And I think it's such a kind of sums up his whole thesis, really, for writing this book, and I'm going to enjoy reading it. Which brings up my souvenir for you fellow board members, and I have one for Bruce, too. He's got to quit talking to Phil back there and get his present. I have for you guys a Question Authority bumper stickers, just to remember me.
Thank you.
I'm going to pass them down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Thanks, Adria.
That's great.
And there's one for you, Bruce.
I want to see this on the district card.
And there's one for Walter.
Does that make me the authority?
Well, you know, we could have a bumper sticker that says, allow questioning authority. But
only if it's in the strategic plan.
Allow authority to be questioned.
To be an authority, to allow such a thing, is quite an authority.
Thanks.
But
thank
a part of questioning authority is just deciding what is an authority and what is actually just not an authority but is pretending to be an authority. But I think the reason this is important is we never want to give to someone else the responsibility for thinking for ourselves. We have to keep thinking for ourselves, and we never just pass that off and give it away. And thinking for oneself and questioning authority is not mutually exclusive to good manners, because I think, which is a very important point. And so, to emphasize the good manners and the beauty and loveliness of nature, I'm giving you all a rose, too, put together by the Arroyo Grande High School ROP Floral Design Class with Connie Sparks. So they were real busy for me today. So everyone gets one as long as they last. We have a lot of staff out here, too, like Rick and Rita and all of you. So I'm going to pass this out. You can choose pink or red.
I'm putting this in my office.
Pink or red?
What do you want, Chris?
Oh, red is the color of love.
Okay.
Oh,
yes. And I'm Aries, and that's fire.
Thank you.
I wanted to mention also, Adrian is one of a kind, and at the next board meeting, and I mean that in a very positive way, there actually is something that will be shared publicly, because Adrian will be here on...
I was trying to get out of that.
I know she was. On December 9th, and that's when our new board member, Phil Angel, that we're all looking forward to his joining the board, will be sworn in, and Adrian will be, they usually say sworn at, but... there'll be things that'll be shared at that point. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
For
thank
tonight.
You all. I'm going to miss you all so
thank
much.
You for
it's
tonight.
Been a privilege.
Meeting Howard Zinn.
Oh yeah, I'll be. Yeah.
And then I believe Mark.
If I can, thank you, John. I also read the newsletters, and I was afraid you were going to say the same thing. And one of the things that jumped out at me is, at least in one or two of the newsletters, principals took the time to thank both Ed and Mary for taking the time to visit their school sites and to point out that they do that on a regular basis. So I would like to add my thanks to Ed and Mary for visiting the schools. I'd also like to thank Ed. This year, the countywide PTA has had a number of speakers, and Ed has been at every one of our meetings. Last night, we heard from Gina Miles, the silver medalist from the 2008 Olympics, and we each got to hold the silver medal, which is, in my mind, was always about this big, and it's really about this big. So I was very impressed, and I wanted to thank Ed for taking the time to be with the PTA. Last thing I'd like to mention is I've recently taken a part-time job at the Lucia Mar Unified School District, the other district, and I'm working in the computer lab as the paraeducator, and it's been an eye-opener. It's been exciting. The children are wonderful, and it's given me a whole new perspective on sitting here as a board member. Thank you, John.
You're welcome, Mark. Adrian.
You're going to have to be the new teacher, public school teacher advocate. Step up. I wanted to say something about my husband, Robert, being here and the ginger cookies.
Yes.
And I know every week I come, all the board thanks my husband for these great cookies that he sent. So, and I saved a rose for Robert, everybody. He has one, too.
Yes. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Adrian. And for the gift, thank you very much. Any other reports or comments? Okay. Then we'll go into Russell, please, for the status of the state budget. Thank you.
Thank you. I just turned it off. Publicly turn off my microphone. But, yeah. I wanted to express my appreciation for Adrienne's service and all that she's done and the perspective that she brings to the board. It's been a wonderful experience. I will be honest, though, I'll really miss Robert more than you because I appreciate his cookies very much. So thank you to you and Robert both for your services to the board. It's been very, very wonderful experience. The status of the state budget, I think it is nothing if it isn't chaotic and confusing. Right now, the state is engaged in a special session of the legislature that was called by the governor, is scheduled to terminate on November 30th. The purpose of it is to address the shortfall of the state budget in their structural deficit, which is now measured for the 08-09 year at approximately $11.5 billion, plus or minus a couple of hundred million. The aspects of being able to correct a shortfall of that size are real problematic in that there is no one program, there is no one area, there is no one individual concept that's going to solve this problem. What the governor has proposed to the legislature is to consider significant areas of revenues to be increased, sales taxes, income taxes, other areas that the state can use to generate revenues, he's hoping, which translates to about $300 per student. So a district the size of Lucia Mar would have to forego $3 million worth of funding, a district of our size, $2.1 million, and so forth and so on. What the significance of this particular idea is that a mid-year cut on an educational institution that has already engaged in contracts to pay for salaries and benefits to the tune of 85% of its budget, its revenue sources, really doesn't have much space or movement in order to go to anything else. We no longer have 100% of our materials budget. We no longer have 100% of our services and other expenditure type budgets. We've spent probably 70 cents of every dollar that we budgeted at this point or obligated it on the unrestricted side of the ledger. And then on the restricted side, we have very specific expenditures for very specific programs. Coming up with a $2.1 million return for the state for districts requires them to have one thing, cash. And most districts don't have much cash right now. They have gone through cuts for several years. They've expended all of their excess reserves, and they've brought themselves to the point of having just the bare necessities in the cupboard. The state also has an issue that if you look at the two-year deficit, it translates to somewhere in the area of $23.5 billion. If they don't make a structural change in 08-09 with mid-year cuts, which will be very painful for everybody involved in that, including cities, counties, state agencies, and local districts. If they go, if they can't find some common ground to address this issue, then the 09-10 budget year becomes extremely painful and extremely problematic. While it isn't mid-year cuts, while it would give us an opportunity to react to their concerns if they do it in a if they do it in a concerted and timely manner, it still will be a significant amount of money for any agency that requires or relies upon state money. This is an issue that has brewed for many, many years. We've talked about it several times at this table, about how there needs to be some sort of a thoughtful and logical process. And in fact, the legislature has engaged in different kinds of maneuvering, borrowing money, selling assets, pretending that this revenue looks like that revenue, and other things that have come back to haunt them now. I can only say that, that the district, its concerned parents, and its staff members need to take a proactive approach in letting our legislators know that education is a very significant and important part of what we do. If we can't get the basic funding to educate kids, then what is the long-term societal impact going to be? And that's a question that I think the outcome is rather obvious, yet it is one of those that you would wish to avoid. There are no easy solutions. This isn't really a solution that has political solutions attached to it. It's just a matter of looking at the finances, buckling down, gritting your teeth, and doing the very difficult act of increasing your revenues and decreasing your spending. This isn't something that's a great mystery. We've been through this as a school district when we lost $10 million. We didn't have any choices. We made tough decisions. We went through the pain, but we got the piece done, and look at where we're at today. It wasn't because we voided or attempted to term different things different ways. We really took a look at what we did. They can do that. I think that we need to be aware that our financial position is somewhat tenuous until we find out what the outcome at the state level. We're playing a guessing game, so we have to be very focused on what the state is doing and what the potential impact on us is going to be.
Thank you. Any questions for Russell? Mark?
Russell, have you heard anything new on the federal, federal prison? There's a gentleman that's been assigned by the federal government to look into the state prison system and the medical situation, and it would add billions to the... nothing new on that.
I don't know about that one.
Okay.
There's a court case that was taken to federal court, and there was a ruling against the state of California Department of Corrections.
Yeah, I just wondered if we'd heard anything new.
Yeah, there was an $8 billion price tag.
I know what it is. The medical facility.
For the medical.
Yes. They're still pushing that. I just wondered if there's anything
there
you want.
There is a court order that they must correct the deficiency. There are two resolutions that must be enacted. We are not sure if we originally in 1985 actually enacted these resolutions. So we made a search. We couldn't find them. So we are now putting these to the board and recommending that they adopt these resolutions so that we can legally pick up the employee contribution to PERS with the effect of deferring taxes for those employees until such time as they are retired and able to access that money, at which time they will pay taxes on it.
And what I think we should do, if I'm correct, is we're going to take each one separately and have an oral vote. And we'll first address resolution number 040809. Is there a motion?
I'll move for approval of 040809.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mark. Any discussion on that resolution? Seeing none, then Ms. Holmes, please.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Mrs. Dickinson? Mr. Spadafore?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Dr. Eisenrath Rogers?
Yes.
Passes 6-0.
And the second resolution is number 050809 as presented. Do I have a motion and a second, please? We have a motion by Adrian and a second by Mark.
Yes, thank you.
Any discussion on this resolution? Seeing none, Ms. Holmes?
Mrs. Dickinson?
Aye.
Mr. Buckman? Dr. Eisenrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Spadafore?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Passes 6-0.
We'll move into our action discussion portion. And item number 4 is prepared by Ms. Delkiskamp and presented by Ms. Delkiskamp. Thank you, Rita, very much for doing this.
Presented for your review this evening are the new and modified secondary course recommendations for possible implementation next school year. The modified courses include recommended changes in textbooks, course titles, or course parameters. And as an example, our Math Plus course and our Spanish 4 course are attempting to address textbook needs. The new course recommendations are based on student interest, program needs, and possible future needs. And as an example there, the Guitar 3 class is a new course that has been developed to address a growing student interest. Both Curriculum Council and our secondary principals have approved this recommended list of new and modified courses, and this item will be brought back to you in December for your action, but at this time I would welcome your input.
Okay, thank you very much, Rita. Are there any, Mark?
Yeah, if I can. I had the opportunity to talk to Mrs. Delskamp today, and I apologize for calling so late. I was interested in the Guitar 3 class. The VAPA committee has been meeting for a number of years, and I was concerned that we were replacing guitars, and I was wondering what was going to happen to the old guitars. And what I found out is these are actually new guitars and still not enough guitars because so many students are wanting to take music and wanting to get involved in it, and so I think it's a little bit of a boost for the work that BAP has done so far, and so I just wanted to thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Chris and then Catherine.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the ROP Animal Science Agriculture course on page 4.3, and it pleases me to see that this course meets the UCCSUG requirement, and as much as we can work toward that, I'd like to see that happen in the district.
Yeah, I know that's been a question in the past, so that brings it up to that point. Catherine?
Rita, this is a question really for you to think about and whether it can be brought back or not. But in regards to the Guitar 1 and 2 class, I'm thinking about the strings program that we tried to offer at the high school level this year and just didn't generate interest for. And I'm wondering if at this level, one of the things about the string program was that we were requiring students to have had previous experience with strings without ever having offered preliminary classes like we do in guitar. Mm-hmm. I just wonder what your thoughts are. Don't have to say now, but when you come back, about expanding this to beyond guitar, to violin, viola, cello, as a way to bring students in, maybe at an earlier level, at levels 1 and 2. Just a thought.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Any other questions or comments for Rita? Chris?
You know, I was going to say this is an action discussion item, so we could take action on this item tonight.
I didn't know if it had to be aired first time in public and then brought back.
Whatever the board's pleasure is.
Okay. So we'll take more questions, and then somebody can fashion a motion if that's appropriate with a second. We have Adrian, then Marilyn. But do Adrian, then Marilyn. Go ahead.
Rita Delkiskamp. I think that your name is mispronounced about more than any other name in our district, but it's such a great name, Delkiskamp.
That's right.
Rita Delkiskamp. So it's a
presentation by Ms. Delkiskamp.
I would move approval of item number 4, new and modified secondary courses for 09-10.
We have a motion by
Mr.
Unger.
And I'll second it.
And a second by Ms. Rogers. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry? Catherine, go ahead, Catherine.
I'm just wondering if we vote on this now, if we would still get to hear back about the strings program. We can still.
Well, what I could do is I could approach the different teachers at both high schools and bring forward your suggestion about including other string instruments, such as the viola you mentioned, and see if maybe that might generate some interest in putting another course forward.
Great. Thanks. That would be great.
Okay. Is that good, Catherine, then? Okay. Any further comments on the motion? Okay, we have a motion by Chris and a second by Marilyn to accept the proposed new and modified secondary courses for 2009-2010. Provide staff, as presented by Ms. Delkiskamp. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 6-0. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brita. I do. I practice. Item number 5, prepared by Mr. Miller and will be presented by Russell Miller regarding the reserve for capital purchases, please.
Thank you. The district has perceived a need for to respond to immediate requests for replacing capital items. These capital items are assets with an unpredictable shelf life that represent a large funding cost. They need to be replaced quickly due to the essential functions that they represent. Examples of such items would be the buses, the maintenance equipment, technology infrastructure, playground replacements. The authority to approve the purchases will reside with the board, as it currently does, through the furniture and equipment request process and the purchase order approval process. Staff will review the various requests to ensure that the funding source is appropriate. The board will be responsible for approving the replenishment of the fund when items have been purchased. We have several areas in our district that utilize large capital assets whose natures don't allow us to predict exactly when they ought to be replaced, just that at some point they'll need to be replaced. And they either break down or they simply become obsolete. With this type of a reserve established, the district will be able to identify a specific source of funding to satisfy this need. This allows us to have a more organized approach to being able to do replacements that would be defined as large in terms of dollar cost and significant in terms of being able to get it back into service as quickly as possible. The board would have the ability to control the expenditures in terms of the approval process, and certainly the replacement of this money as it's being spent. The board would be informed about the need to replace the funds, thus having knowledge of what's been placed in front of the approval process, so it's been utilized through the approval process. What staff recommends is that the board set aside $350,000 to fund this reserve and utilize it for the replacement of these large capital cost assets.
Okay. Thank you. I think we have a question from Mark.
If I may, I think I have three quick questions. If the board sets aside this money into a... Is it going into a special fund, or is it just going into a line item?
It'll be a reserve of our general fund. It's a line item.
So it's a line item. So if we set aside this amount of money or more, is this something that becomes inviolate and we can't move it back if we need it?
It'll stay in the general fund, and it can be redesignated at any time should you choose to do so.
Okay, thanks. Second, may I?
Oh, certainly.
Thank you, John. And then they're already... are, I believe, within the district, deferred maintenance.
Right.
And then a system, especially for technology, a fixed asset system. And does this differ then from those two?
Well, the fixed asset system is a database that just identifies each individual asset. So this table has a one of those barcodes on it, and then it's identified in the fixed asset system. So that's totally
that's
separate.
Not money. Okay.
Right. But your first example is the deferred maintenance fund. And the deferred maintenance is a very specific, identified, seven-category expenditure of funds for things attached to the building. The ceilings, the floors, the walls, the windows, other things that are part of a very defined action. It really isn't about large capital assets. A capital asset is basically a depreciable asset, something that has a useful life, and you would expect that after a period of time, it would no longer operate.
Okay. And so
a
just
car would be a good example of that.
How about
that? It has to come through. Things would have to come through as a request if we did go forward with this. But I would like to see them brought forward in a way that they are earmarked and that the board is clearly aware of what's being done, rather than have them, slide through on the FERS. Which
could we use a separate category on the FERS piece where you would see it? or do you want us to verbalize it and highlight it?
I can only speak for myself.
Right.
For me,
right.
that would be sufficient so long as it's clearly
delineated
so that I see, oh, we're drawing down that account in this amount for this particular item.
That could easily be done. That would not be much of a diversion from what we already do.
Okay, thank you.
And I think Dr. Valentine, then Adrian.
Yeah, and I would just add to this that the concept here is to kind of to plan and prepare in a strategic kind of way for items that don't have a budget category, like deferred maintenance, and we've shared some examples. To buy a new school bus is not something we've set aside $140,000 for, but if it broke, we would certainly need to be able to move relatively quickly to replace it. And so we see this as a part of the strategic planning process and consistent with those goals. And I think it is also a key component of this that the money can be redesignated for other purposes if we go into a financial crisis and discover that we're just going to defer those big capital items because something else is more important. We can do that.
Yeah, Adrian?
It seems like we budget for things. We can see that the bus is wearing out and we're going to buy a new one and the computers are going to have... We've already determined how many years things last. So this isn't really for that type of thing, actually, is it? It's more for if something's more sudden, or it says immediate, unpredictable, that type of thing.
Yeah, I think probably the example of the school bus, we maintain those for many, many, many years. If something happened and suddenly we could no longer maintain it, I would suggest that might fall into the unexpected category and be used for this. Another example is, for instance, the roofing at the district office. Sooner or later, that roof is going to go. Deferred maintenance can't cover it because deferred maintenance is for facilities that house K-12 students, and the district office doesn't. When it goes, it'd be nice to come in out of the rain.
We also would have an opportunity to be able to replace things that accidentally, either a fire or something in a very immediate way. What we would have insurance proceeds eventually, they probably won't account for 100% of the replacement costs, and they sometimes take a considerable time to be able to access. So those would be other examples of this. Also, we have this multi-million-dollar network of fiber optics throughout the district. And, you know, should something happen, it's a very expensive process to go through and replace and update that piece. So this also would be something in the technology that we don't account for in our ed tech plan that would be potentially necessary.
Chris?
Yeah, I'm thinking... I'm with Marilyn. I wouldn't like to see this in the regular purchase orders. I'd like to see it as a pulled-out item. I'm okay with it being in the first. I'm thinking we've in the past had school bus engines go. We've had to replace fuel tanks on school buses. I believe we had to replace the natural gas fuel canisters or whatever they were, and that we had to... We had to put money forward toward that, and those were kind of expected, unexpected things. So I would be in support of this.
Marilyn?
Thank you. I just want to make sure I'm understanding it clearly. We would have an initial investment in this fund of
$350,000.
And then as it's drawn down, would we, in each budget...
Yeah.
Return it to its 300. So it's in essence, it's a sinking fund.
Exactly. It's exactly what it is a sinking fund. And the 350 is an estimate based upon the cost of some of the items that we speculate we might be wanting to replace. So we might end up reducing the reserve or increasing the reserve as history gives us some sort of a basis for this kind of a decision. For right now, $350,000, it's a sinking fund, and we would bring it to you for replacement either when it's depleted or at the beginning of each budget cycle for you to make a decision about at that time.
There might be carryover.
There would hopefully be carryover, yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mark?
I just want to I want to agree with Marilyn's concept and with Chris. I'd much rather see this come to us.
Quest versus other options goes to the heart of what this fund is meant to be, and that's a safety net. So, quite frankly, the students, first of all, don't lose the opportunity to use technology or some other aspect of the district at that point, but to be used in a way that isn't available in any other sense if it's necessary.
Well, and I'm thinking, too, in an emergency, I believe we have we've given delegated authority to you guys to spend, what is it, up to $30,000 without board approval. So in the case of a leaky roof at the DO, while you're getting out your umbrellas, you could still fund, get Quaglino's over or somebody like that to repair it and then bring it back to us, I think.
Marilyn.
Thanks, John. I think how this actually, what might have precipitated this was some concern about the library catalog system that serves all of our schools, and that system was becoming antiquated and may no longer be supported. So it's things like that we say, okay, this has come up and needs to be addressed, and so we need, I'm totally in favor of having this fund. I just would like there to be, I would like to be made aware when it's being drawn down, and I assume it'll be drawn down in fairly large chunks of money, not, you know, small ones, just so I can have a sense of what kinds of things we're doing with it. I don't anticipate saying, no, you can't, but I just would like to know what it's about and not have it be buried in the FERS or the POs where I'm likely to miss it.
Got it. So let me take a shot at this. The motion could be that the board approve the establishment of this fund necessary to purchase capital goods, services, or items that are presented to the board in a separate request with need, cost, and options presented for the board's decision to utilize money in this fund. You can take, you have, it has to be a motion to set this fund up. I believe it has to be a motion and a second.
I'll make that motion.
I think I just did.
You want to, I'll second the motion.
Okay. Okay, now we got a motion and a second by Mark, and then we have further discussion.
I just want to clarify whether you're specifying the amount of money that you are...
As set forth in this request of $350,000. And then second, and then Marilyn.
I'm just wondering if that motion is too cumbersome. If it's set up that way, is it going to be too cumbersome to allow... for the an expenditure that might need to be made now?
I would say to you that way that it's been phrased is that we have a meeting every 2 weeks. We would have to go through some sort of a process to make sure we're getting the right price, make sure we're identifying the right vendor, and other things. It would take us time to get to the point. I don't think we would be delayed necessarily by this process that John has put into his motion. The only thing missing from the motion that we talked about is putting it in the FERS as a line item as opposed to a separately presented item that has justification alternatives and other things like he talks about. But seriously, I don't think that's so bad, and we could learn to live with that piece, and as we go through it and become familiar with the process, maybe it becomes a line item on the FERS later. If that's, I mean, I hear some concern from the board members. They want to be informed about this process fully. So if that's the way you guys see it, then that's fine with us. That's okay.
Yeah,
well, we can always do that.
I'll support the motion if that's the motion that's out there. But for my part, I don't need to approve every expenditure out of that account. I want to be made aware of them, though, since we already were trusting you, Russell, with a considerable amount of money in the district. This is... I'm willing to trust you with making good choices about this, but I want to be made aware
of
it.
We'll go to Chris in just a second. Well, Chris, I was just going to say something real briefly. I just thought that the tenor was for a bit, that this fund represented something different than we had done in the past, that this was an attempt to identify things that had not been identified in other budget processes. So I think this would also be illuminating if we come to a point where money is necessary for something to find out how we got to that point, why we're using the money out of this fund rather than somewhere else through prior planning. This is kind of a security safety net. So, okay. Okay.
And I guess the other thing I was thinking is that we, large ticket items such as school buses, I'm assuming we would go through the normal bid process and things like that. So, except in, I guess, a dire emergency where those rules would be waived.
It's a 6-0. We're going into action consent. So I would ask the board members to indicate which item you would request to be pulled for a separate vote. Item number 7, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. Item number 8, acceptance of donations. Item number 9, disposition of surplus property. Item number 10, approval of furniture and equipment requests. Item number 11, approval of purchase orders. Item number 12, approval of warrant and payroll. Item number 13, approval of local educational agency representative for Title 3 Year 4 Action Plan. Item 14, approval of K-12 single, I'm sorry, 14. We're going to pull approval of K-12 single plans for student achievement for 2008-2009. And number 15, approval of educational technology plan 2009 to 2014. Pull. So I would entertain a motion to approve items 7 through 13.
I'll move approval of items 7 through 13.
Thank you, Chris. And a second?
I'll second.
Second by Catherine. All in favor? Passes 6, Marilyn, 5-0, with one abstention. Now we have item number 14 that was pulled by Adrian, please.
This is going to be quick. I'm not going to do my whole speech about No Child Left Behind. You don't have to sit through that. But, you know, I still keep wanting to think about closing the achievement gap, as you know, on an individual basis between what a student is doing and what they're capable of doing. Because we certainly think about that in special education. What are they doing and what are they capable of doing, and close that. And that works for gifted education, too, which I know Catherine Eisendrath Rogers is interested in, because we might have a student doing a superb job, but that's not what they're capable of more. So we want to close those achievement gaps. So anyway, I'm just looking real quickly, and I wanted to just point out some goals I think are really good. And I didn't read all of them because I'm going off the board, and I didn't read every word in the whole book this time, but Baywood Elementary, goal number 4, creating a balanced curriculum for improving student achievement. We'll work together to ensure that all students receive a balanced curriculum in all subject areas. We will support and promote programs and curriculum in the areas of science, history, social science, physical education, and visual and performing arts. We will determine the success of these programs through staff, student, and parent surveys and other specific curricular assessments. I think that's been sort of a casualty of, you know, current efforts, is that narrowing of curriculum. So I like that goal. Monarch Elementary, goal number 1, teachers will carefully plan and deliver standards-based instruction in ways that are meaningful to the child. Not just, it doesn't start out with raising scores. It talks about, you know, what's meaningful to the child to learn. And goal number 7 from that same school, 100% of students will participate in a well-balanced and enriched educational experience. Learning will be extended to include additional visual and performing arts experiences and physical education. And then Smith, goal number 1, this is also, instead of numbers and star test base, students will develop and improve lifelong reading and writing skills while at C.L. Smith. It's not just scores this year. We're talking lifelong reading and writing skills. I think those are nicely worded. And then I think it's Laguna Middle School, goal 5, safe schools. Staff will create a safe and inclusive school climate where 85% of our students participate in at least one school activity, and 90% of the students consider themselves welcomed, valued, recognized,
and motivated to succeed as measured by spring surveys. And as we know, that those are the feelings that contribute to student success just as much as intervention classes. So I just wanted to briefly lift those up and commend all the schools for their multidimensional efforts every day.
Would you like to make a motion?
So I move that we approve the K-12 single plans for student achievement for 2008 and 2009.
Thank you. And a second? Catherine? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. And then Mark, I believe you pulled number 15.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And I read this last time, and on the second time reading the 5-year technology plan, two things jumped out at me. If I'm reading this correctly,
help answer that.
Okay.
Our site tech coordinators are oftentimes the first line of defense. They enter the work orders if the technical issue that needs to be resolved needs a higher level of technical expertise. But they do a lot of the basic troubleshooting and helping to answer teacher questions on the use of software and some of the online resources. So the ratios you see in here relate to the actual technical support. Their level of support is answering questions, and some of them do troubleshoot. And it's hard to measure how much time they spend doing that, 15, 30 minutes a day. It might be less or more than that. So when I think of technical support, I don't think of the clerical part of entering work orders and that kind of thing. I think of more getting out to the classrooms and troubleshooting a printer issue or that type of thing. And I know they do that, and we do acknowledge the value of what they bring to our technology programs. It's very important.
Is it your
wish that we try to quantify that? Or
well, possibly next
get
time.
That into the plan now?
I don't want to change the plan now. It's a wonderful plan. But within the plan, it says that their duties include but are not limited to supporting basic technical issues at their site. So it sounds like at least they're going in and trying to resolve issues.
Yeah, and they work in the computer labs with the teachers and the students and provide support with lesson planning.
I'm learning about that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Integrating the technology, they do a fabulous job.
So I just didn't want them to lose that kind of recognition that's in here. So that's the first. The second question is the last page of the report on page 82. And on page 82, what we have is the 2008 California Tech Survey and Technological Inventory. Mm-hmm. And in the district, we talk a lot about closing the achievement gap, and we talk a lot about the EL being the main focus. And as I looked at this chart, if you go over to the line, to the column where it says online PCs, the two schools with the least amount of computers available to students are Hawthorne and Pacheco. And I just had a question about that.
Okay, thank you. This survey was done in February-March timeframe, and it is a statewide survey that all school districts do, reporting the hardware that they have. And so this survey does not reflect the most recent elementary grant. And so if we were to update this as of today, we have elementary schools that have already received the technology from the EETT grant, and we have one school, C.L. Smith, that is just getting their grant machines installed this week, and three elementaries that those should be here any time. So the numbers would be much more equitable once those computers are in. So within the next month, I would say, if we were to update this chart, you would see the numbers being more equitable in terms of per pupil PC ratio.
And so will this be an ongoing trend then, that these two schools are always towards the end of getting their equipment?
Yeah, I forgot to explain that these two schools in the last round of elementary grants that we received were not included in that last round, and so that's why their numbers are slightly lower. And the reason that happened is because
they had used site funding, and I believe it was perhaps Title I or some other site discretionary funding a few years ago to upgrade their own computers. They did it on their own, and all of our schools have that opportunity anytime they want to do that. So that was almost a little strike against them because they did not have computers that were in as much need as the other elementary schools. So they were just a slight step ahead of the others, and that kicked them out of the grant the last round. So, but this time everybody qualified. We got two rounds of grants thanks to Eric Jarvis and Rita in Instructional Services. So all of our elementaries will be getting this next round of computers, and it'll be more equitable.
Can I ask that somehow, maybe either through the Friday memo or through a 3-minute update, you can tell us when what the latest is on this or when it's finalized?
With the grants?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
That would be great.
Okay, absolutely. I can even update this chart once those are in so you can see the elementary numbers.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Just so you know, our numbers are actually ahead of the state average in terms of the ratios of computers to students. And so did I just turn that on?
No, you're good now.
Okay.
You're good now.
So in other words, in our district, if you look at the bottom of that chart on page 82, we have an overall ratio of 3.
Art teacher or shop teacher who... the computer is not their best friend. And that's not to say that those teachers aren't excellent teachers. We appreciate the district not making a power grade mandatory, where some of these teachers have to put every single grade on power grade, even though we've heard the board compliment, parents compliment students, that it has its place and that a lot of people are enjoying and benefiting by that to be able to track their students. Some teachers really believe that, you know, one of the things that we do, especially when students get in high school, is we're building a relationship with our students where the relationship and grades and things like that are between the student and the teacher. And that's readying them for college when parents are out of the picture and not allowed to check up on their students. So we want students to be able to eventually become independent and be able to step out on their own and have that relationship with their teacher, to be able to come to that teacher and communicate with that teacher. In the tech plan, I've received some emails from teachers that are concerned, and Amelia can maybe help me with this, but in there, is there something about that all teachers will create and maintain a website, and maybe Amelia could speak to that, because right now Teachers Association is looking at that with a critical eye.
I'm wondering whether this might be something that requires more detail. It isn't an agenda item that we could work out through conversations at the administrative level. If they're unsatisfactory, they could certainly be brought back here.
Mark?
Or we can respond now.
No,
can respond now if you like.
Maybe we could just respond briefly, and then it would require another meeting or a different venue to provide details. But I'd like to invite first Eric Jarvis here, because I think it's really important to acknowledge all of his work on this plan. He has really worked hard to, especially in the components of curriculum and professional development, to provide guidance to our teams of teachers and staff members who worked on this plan. And he's there every day for our teachers and staff who need help with technology. So before we go further, I just wanted to acknowledge him for his hard work. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric, very much.
And then Eric can add anything that needs to be added, but this plan is meant to be a vision for the future. So it doesn't mean that necessarily our district is ready at this moment to move towards that objective. The other important something else that's important to keep in mind is this is a five-year plan, and the objectives are fluid. The goals are where we want to go, but the objectives are something that will evolve as we continue to work with our staff members. So again, this is a vision. We don't want to hold back. We want to think, as far as technology goes, think towards the future, but in no way do we want to raise anybody's anxiety level.
Thank you very much, Rita. And Eric?
And it's not our intent to turn our teachers into web designers, essentially changing their careers. We do. Our goal is to have teachers have some sort of web presence with PowerTeacher and PowerSchool. By virtue of using the PowerTeacher gradebook, the teacher has established a web presence. And within that gradebook, they can write messages, provide parents and students with notice of upcoming due dates. So using tools like that, we hope to provide some type of web presence for teachers, not necessarily designing a website, but thank you.
You know what I was going to suggest? Thank you very much, Eric, for the work you've done on that and also for that information. Personally, from my perspective on the board, if there is an issue regarding what Mr. Bedrugian raised, it would help if it was addressed in the department or where it would best be explained. And then if more information can be brought, then we can have a discussion here if necessary with all the data and all the information in front of us. Frankly, people laugh at me at my office because I can barely run my computer. So to listen to a discussion tonight, I probably wouldn't be able to even follow it that well. So I would appreciate it if it's something that could be framed, discussed, and then brought back in an appropriate fashion, if that's okay. Okay. Thank you very much for the comments, and Eric and Amelia for the around it quite well. Okay. Okay. Any other comments?
Thank you.
All in favor? Opposed? Passes 5-0. Now we're going to move on to the advanced agenda. Is there anything that any board member would like to propose? Chris?
Yeah, and I'm not sure how I want to see it come forward, but I would like the board to reexamine its homework policy vis-a-vis some of not necessarily Dr. Skoulis's ideas, but I have had parents approach me on a regular basis talking about the volume of homework and the effects of homework on family life and things like that. So I'd like to see whether our current homework policy is actually achieving what we would like to have it achieve and if there's necessity for modification or amendment to it.
How would you like that addressed? Do you have any suggestion?
I don't. And I'm wondering if it... Maybe I'm seeing Mark over there. I'm wondering if it should be brought back as an examination of the actual board policy and a discussion of the board policy for modification. I'm not thinking we want to have a study session, and I don't know that that's necessary in order to modify the board policy. But I'd clearly like to examine the board policy, and that would be something we would do in open session.
Okay. Before I go to Adrian, Dr. Matakovich was going to add a comment.
Yes, I appreciate you surfacing this topic. It is a current topic under consideration at the curriculum council level. We've shared our current policy as well as sample policies from other districts as well as a position paper just put out relative to this topic, and we intend to talk about it at our next curriculum council meeting, having input from all representatives across the school district. That meeting's January 12th at 4 o'clock, if you'd like to join us at the district office. I would imagine that it's going to take us a couple meetings to process this piece, and we'd be happy to report back to you in terms of our recommendations.
Yeah. Is that good, Chris? Okay. Thank you, Dr. Matakovich. And then, Adrian?
Does that include input from parents?
We've asked our curriculum council reps to present this information to their staff and then in turn their school site council. So right now we're at the awareness and establishing a knowledge base as curriculum council reps, and then we'll be taking it back to the school sites. So yes, as well as the kids.
And I would kind of like to actually second Chris's with John motion, though, to have an agenda item, because by the time that's all gelled and you have something to present, an agenda item would give other people in the community an opportunity to speak as well. And you could consider it all at once and then decide if you want to change your board policy or not.
Chris? Yeah, I guess what now is starting to gel for me is I'd like to hear what the Curriculum Council has to say and what their final product is, and then I'd like to see that presented as an agenda item. I don't think that would be difficult for us to do.
So we just need another board member to second that?
I'll second that.
We have a second and we have a third, so I think you have enough votes. We're on? Okay. Any other items for advanced agenda from the board? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So spoke. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody who's here tonight also.